number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Yahoo Sports Radio. I'm Rich Herrera. That's Adam Sager, our producer and co-host this morning. As we come to you this morning after the Golden State Warriors stay alive, Bolts don't. We'll get into that for you this hour of the program. But somebody did come up with a definitive answer, Adam, that we are asking, what do I say on Memorial Day? Because, again, I don't think you should say Happy Memorial Day. It just doesn't seem right. So we had someone call in to kind of clarify that for us.
Yes, a gentleman called in and said, we don't say Happy Memorial Day, we commemorate Memorial Day.
We commemorate Memorial
Day. Yes, we commemorate those who gave their life for our country.
See, now, I'm going to be interested to see on Monday, as you go to the ballpark and you watch television, how many people, and I don't think they're doing it out of any malice towards anyone, but I wonder how many people will say Happy Memorial Day. Like if you listen to a DJ on the radio, hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Memorial Day to you. How many will say it just out of, again, not malice and ignorance isn't the right word, but just lack of understanding of what the holiday commemorates?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see or hear more than a handful of people do that. If you listen to the radio, you listen to, you know, certain baseball games, you know, some announcers might do it. Definitely, we'll definitely hear it multiple times throughout the day, as long as you're listening to different things.
Right, exactly. So anyway, so now I know we'll commemorate Memorial Day on Monday. So remind me of that so I don't say the wrong thing on Monday. So you're going to be responsible for that.
Okay.
To make sure that I say the right thing as we honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice coming up on Monday. All right, what are we going to talk about this hour of the program? We got to go back to the NBA and Game 5 between the Thunder and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors win this one. It was close. It was back and forth. The Warriors kind of had a 7-8 point cushion through most of the game until Draymond Green, for whatever reason, committed a foul and got a technical on a 3-point shot. It gave Oklahoma City 4 points. They walked up and knocked down 4 free throws in a row to erase that 7-point cushion that the Warriors had for most of the game. And I guess it was the best and the worst of Draymond Green, because he had some monster blocks, but he also opened the door that Oklahoma City almost made a run to come back in this game, Adam.
Well, and he was lucky early in the game. Russell Westbrook drove the ball down the middle of the lane, and Draymond blocked him. Well, as soon as he blocked him, he just stared. Russ fell, and he stared at Russell Westbrook, and he was just screaming at him. You could just tell he was taunting him after the block. And Chris Webber immediately said it, like, he needs to stop. They're watching him. He's going to get teed up for it. And then he did it again later. I couldn't believe the refs didn't tee him up, because this is his problem right now, and the refs need to take charge with this. And if you add that in with a dumb technical later in the game,
right?
I mean, this guy's really pushing the envelope that if they do come back and win game 6 and he gets another technical, I believe he's out for game 7.
I mean, that's the part where he is living so close to the edge.
Yeah, if he had gotten one technical before this and he wasn't near the limit to where you get automatically suspended a game, I would just say, okay, whatever, Draymond, do your thing. But he's pushing that limit now, that the fact that if he does get another one, now we're talking about a game suspension. And if they do play a second game after this one, it's game 7 to go to the NBA Finals, where he can't get a technical in the NBA Finals or he misses another game.
Do you think if they do advance past Oklahoma City, and not many people are giving them credit or giving them any chance of doing that, there's no way he gets through the rest of the playoffs without picking up one more tee?
It's just the way he is. And I'm not comparing him to Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman could get a technical with just looking at a referee. That's just how he was, and he deserved basically probably 95% of the technicals he got. But that's where Draymond's heading, to where he just gets these technicals when he shouldn't be, because there's no reason to be taunting Russell Westbrook in the first quarter after a block.
I just don't want to make that guy mad. I don't want to give any more motivation.
Right.
I saw what happened after I kicked Steven Adams.
Well, and he went to the ground. Russell Westbrook went to the ground. So why not turn around and get down the floor with a 4-on-5 and score the bucket instead of walking towards Russell Westbrook, flexing and screaming? That makes no sense in my head.
It makes absolutely no sense in my head. But at one point, Steph Curry goes on one of those like 2-minute runs where he scores 118 points.
Right.
So he really was rather impressive at the end of the game. And it was like Steph Curry was out there, I'll take you guys on 1-on-5. Because literally, he has 4 Oklahoma City Thunder players surrounding him. It can't get an outlet pass or didn't get an outlet pass, but he was just able to dribble through all of them in and out of traffic. And to me, it was almost like a video game watching him dribble the ball, move through traffic, and literally 3 or 4 Thunder players were standing around him, and nobody could stop him or foul him or take the ball away from him.
He just gets in these modes where it's just not fair. It's, you know, some people call it video game mode, where he's unstoppable. And that's when it's so fun to watch Steph play, because he is smaller than everybody on the floor, so you don't expect it. It's a lot like Allen Iverson.
Here's the other part of it that I think was interesting. There was one point where there was 3 players, and it was only Adams bumping into him that stole the ball. And I was just waiting. It just seemed to me like all night long, Oklahoma City was so close to going on a run, and they just couldn't put together 2 or 3 buckets in a row at the end of the game to steal this one on the road at Oakland.
Yeah, there at the end, there was the Russ 3, and then they get that steal with Steven Adams, and Russ gets fouled again and makes the bucket and then misses the free throw, and Kevin Durant has a wide-open 3 to cut it 2-3. I think it would have been 114-111 at that point. And he just missed the 3, and that would have been very interesting, because I believe there's somewhere around 40, 45 seconds left at that point. And the way the Thunder can score, I mean, it would have made the game really interesting. But then I believe Steph Curry hit 4 straight free throws after that and
right.
just did his thing.
Hi, hey, Steph Curry, you might remember me. I know everybody's written us off, but I'm the only player to win 100% of the votes for the MVP. So
correct.
Let me show you why I'm going to knock down these. I'm going to knock down these 4 shots in a row. I'm going to knock down everything. And here's the other part I was just amazed at. Watching him shoot free throws that hit the front of the hoop. I mean, he doesn't shoot them deep. He shoots them shallow, and they just kind of get over the front of the rim. But he's so good at it.
Yeah.
It's amazing just watching him shoot the ball, and it looks like it's flat. It doesn't have any trajectory. It doesn't look like it's going to get over the front of the rim, and it just, boom, hits nothing but the bottom of the net. Watching him shoot free throws so effortlessly, it is so automatic. It just scares me. Like, there's no way somebody could be this automatic shooting free throws.
Yeah, it's insane. I believe he shot just under 91% this year, and he's just... look at his coach. Steve Kerr was, I believe, a 90% free throw shooter, and when he was in the NBA a lot of years. So it's just, as much as we hate to see, you know, guys like DeAndre Jordan shoot 40, or Andre Drummond shoot, I think he shot 38 or something crazy like that. It's also equally as crazy to watch Steph just make them like it's nothing, like it's so easy, and then watching these other guys look like Shaq, you know, just basically palming the ball at the hoop and just trying to slam it in. It's
right.
It's weird to watch.
It's watching him, and he is such an artist.
Yeah,
knocking down shots, it makes everyone else look so pedestrian, so human. Watching him just knock shot down after shot down after shot down when he's in a rhythm. And then when he's out of rhythm, it looks so weird watching him miss shots.
Well, and what's so fun about Steph is, compared to, say, Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, Steph does it off the dribble so pretty, whereas those guys were more the catch-and-shoot real fast guys, which Steph has that game as well. So that's what makes Steph so so great is the fact that he can do it both ways, whereas the other guys were kind of come off a screen, hit a three, or catch and shoot. Steph can do it any way he wants.
Yeah, absolutely. And just watching him making everything look so easy is why I can't wait. I can't wait for the next game. The Warriors win 120-111 over Oklahoma City, so they'll go on for Game 6 coming up this weekend in OKC. Hey, what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs out in the East? We'll tell you about that next here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is Rich Herrera sitting in for Tony D. Happy Friday morning to you. We'll be back with you as we commemorate Memorial Day. I got it right. How about that, Adam? I learned something tonight.
Perfect.
We'll do that on Monday, and then Tony D is back with you on Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us, everybody, here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Be with you until 6 a.m. Eastern. 3 a.m. out in the West Coast, as we're kind of recapping everything that happened today around sports. How about this? How about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins? Remember, wasn't that long ago, who was the team that was on the ropes? Who was the team that was going to be in big trouble? Who was the team that we are talking about that were going to have controversies and goaltenders, and the coach was going to be under everybody's scrutiny? It was the Penguins. After the Penguins pulled Murray earlier in the series to bring in Marc-Antoine Fleury back in this series, you thought the Pittsburgh Penguins were done. After they saw the Penguins, after the Lightning took it to the Penguins and kind of beat them up in a couple games ago, you thought, forget about it. How are they going to come down to win in Tampa Bay if they even get to a seven? The problem with all that was we were ready to write the Pittsburgh Penguins off. Apparently, Adam, the Penguins had other ideas because they are going to the Stanley Cup Finals. They win and knock off the Tampa Bay Lightning, who did everything they could, including bringing Steven Stamkos out, who hadn't played since March.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that Stamkos played, but I was glad he was able to get out there, get even just a little bit of time he got. And it does kind of stink for the Lightning that, you know, they didn't have maybe one of their best players, and they were this close. You know, they were one win away from going back again and facing the Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals. But the Penguins, they did what they had to do, and they've got a chance to get another cup.
And now, the controversy. Here's the part I wanted to bring up. This is the reason I brought all this up. Two things happened today, and I wonder. There's a lot of, if you don't believe in superstitions, you call them hokey. If you do, you understand, like, dude, I don't mess with anything. I don't mess around with, you know, if there's a no-hitter, I don't talk about it. I don't step on a crack, whatever. Do you have any superstitions, Adam?
No, not really.
I don't really have any, but there's people that are very, very superstitious. One of the superstitions in hockey is you don't touch the trophy before you get to the Stanley Cup.
Correct.
So the Pittsburgh Penguins got to the Stanley Cup Finals. So what do you win for winning the Eastern Conference? Do you know what the name of the trophy is?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of it.
The Prince of Wales Trophy.
Oh, yes. That's what, yeah.
So there is an etiquette to all of this. There's the Clarence Campbell Bowl, which you get for winning the Western Conference, and the Prince of Wales Trophy, which you get for winning the Eastern Conference. In hockey, they've got the coolest names of all of their awards and trophies. I still wish we went back to the old Patrick and Smythe and all the different names you had for the divisions and conferences.
Yeah.
I miss those because they actually had character, and you actually had to be a fan of hockey in order to know who was in the Smythe division and who was in the Patrick division. But now they go to the East, the West, and all the rest. But I do like, you know, you have a Lady Bing trophy for the player with the best sportsmanship. Could you imagine if baseball, football, or basketball had a Lady Bing trophy? Hey, Draymond Green, we want to give you the Lady Bing trophy for being having the best sportsmanship. And I'm not even sure, like, do you brag to people I won the Lady Bing trophy?
I don't think that's something that comes up too often.
I mean, do you walk around with that? Like, when you get the Stanley Cup, you take it and you party with it and take it for all your homeboys.
You spend your day with it.
You spend your day with it. Do you spend the day with the Lady Bing trophy? Do you display it proudly in your house? Hey, look, I got a trophy for being the nicest guy in the NHL.
Yeah, I think if you have a trophy room, you know, say you're Jonathan Toews.
Okay.
And, you know, you got your trophies you've won throughout your entire time, from when you were in juniors to all the way up now with your gold medals and your Stanley Cups. I'm sure you display that if you won it. You don't go party with it or anything, but it's something that's displayed because I'm sure, you know, whoever wins it is proud of it, but it's not something you're like, yeah, I'm a Stanley Cup champion and I won the Lady Bing trophy.
So what do you do with it?
I just think it goes up in your trophy room and it just stays there.
You got a chain you wear it around your neck.
Yeah, that'd be.
Dude, look at me. I'm rocking my Lady Bing trophy. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is the Pittsburgh Penguins, in some people's eyes, committed a serious breach of etiquette. When the trophies were awarded, when the Sharks got their Clarence Campbell Bowl, and I'm not sure this is rude or they're just this, they're, the hockey players are superstitious. You don't touch that because the trophy you want to hold up is the Stanley Cup. So there's a tradition. It's a jinx. If you touch the Campbell Bowl or the Wales Trophy. So they'll have the presentation after they have the handshakes and they'll bring it out. They'll put the bowl out on a pedestal. Hey, congratulations, San Jose Sharks. You're advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals. Here is your Clarence Campbell Bowl for winning the Western Conference. And the team captain looks at it and kind of, okay, that's nice, and then skates off. Nobody touches it, right?
Right, yeah. I remember Jonathan Toews would always skate over when he was, you know, granted the trophy, and he'd just stand next to the table, take his picture, and then skate away. Nobody else would go near it.
Nobody else would go near it, not even come close. It's radioactive. Don't touch it. But guess what happened today with the Pittsburgh Penguins?
It's not good.
Ooh, Sidney Crosby held up the Prince of Wales trophy in their photo op.
And he has to know better than that. You're Sidney Crosby.
You're Sid the Kid. You should know this. So here's what happened. So Mario Lemieux not only touched the Prince of Wales trophy, but actually skated around and celebrated with it in 1991. The Penguins go on to win their first Stanley Cup in team history the following round against the Minnesota North Stars. In 2009, Crosby decided to pick up the Wales trophy, partly because of Mario's precedent. I'm reading from Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy here, but also because the Penguins lost the 2008 Stanley Cup Finals to the Detroit Tigers after he didn't touch the conference hardware. So with that established, Crosby said 2008, Mario did it in 91. 2008, I didn't do it, but it's kind of this Penguins thing. So 2009, I pick it up and hold it. So what's he do now, 2016? He picks up the trophy and holds it. And everybody in hockey is going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he touched that. You just jinxed yourself. But maybe it's a jinx for everybody else.
Yeah.
But just not the Penguins.
I didn't know that. So maybe that is. Maybe they got the reverse. Maybe the reverse.
A little superstitious. This from Yahoo Sports. His contract with an $88.7 million cap hit because he was born on 8/7/87. He wears the same hat through the season for interviews, and he likes to touch the trophy, even though nobody else wants to. Coming up next, we have more here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
We roll on here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Rich in for Tony D. And what a game we saw as the Oklahoma City Thunder were trying to close out the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry would have none of that, yelling, "We're not going home yet." Let's talk about it with Josh Martin from Bleacher Report, one of the NBA writers, joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rich?
I'm doing great. Not as good as the Warriors after this victory. Give me your thoughts on the Warriors getting it done at home, saving off elimination.
They looked like the Warriors after two games of looking anything like anything but themselves. They played with poise. They played with confidence. Steph Curry was hitting shots. Klay Thompson was hitting shots. It wasn't a blow-away sort of a situation for the Warriors where they looked like world beaters, but they were certainly good enough to beat a very good Oklahoma City team. They played a really steady game, and it worked for them in this case.
You know, a lot of times you'll look for big-time players to make big-time plays, but for me, watching the game, I want to get your thoughts. There are a lot of undercurrents that happened to get this game going the way it did. Maybe it was Steven Adams getting into foul trouble early. Maybe it was Andrew Bogut, the big man for the Warriors. What was that X factor that you picked up in this game?
I mean, Bogut, I think, was a big part of just a general effort by the Warriors to not be just a jump shooting team, to play inside out. That's when Golden State is at its best. We can get the ball inside and then work its way out from there. We saw Bogut really being effective in the first half, in particular with his physicality inside, getting some buckets off lobs and offensive rebounds, holding his own on the boards in general. I thought he did a wonderful job, and that was going to be a big factor for Golden State because he had not played well in this series. The Warriors' bigs in general had not played well, but they got good efforts out of Festus Ezeli. They got good efforts out of Maurice Spates, to be sure, and they won the rebounding battle and the points in the paint battle pretty handily tonight.
Well, you talk about Festus and Maurice Spates. I mean, come on, those guys never make any comments after the ball game, but really they were one of the linchpins for the Warriors, especially second and third quarter.
Oh, absolutely. They were huge. They were huge for that team. They needed – the Warriors really needed to counteract that size inside for Oklahoma City at some point. You knew it was going to happen, that those guys would have to step up if the Warriors were going to stick around on this thing, you know, going up against guys like Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter and even Kevin Durant at 7 feet tall. You have to impose something of a physical will at some point if you're the Warriors, because they're, as much as we talk about them being a finesse team, they are a team that can play physical, can play with a lot of attitude, and they really brought that tonight.
Hey, Josh, I did want to bring up one thing with you. Josh Martin joining us right now from Bleacher Report. And being a wordsmith, you'll appreciate the best of times, the worst of times. And that's really what I'm watching with Draymond Green right now. There were points in the game where he was just getting above the rim, blocking everything. I think he had 4 blocks the night. But then there were points where he was just committing silly fouls and giving Oklahoma City 4 points. He's got another technical, one away from getting suspended. I mean, talk about living life on an edge. Give me your thoughts.
I guess that's how Draymond Green prefers to live, on the edge. He's certainly not afraid to bring it when it comes to the trash talk. He likes to instigate. He's that type of guy, for better or for worse. If you're talking about the Golden State Warriors, you would think he's got to keep himself in check a little bit and try to make sure he doesn't get in the ref's face or get in the opponent's face and really play a calm, conservative game, but that's not Draymond. And I think if you tell Draymond not to be Draymond, then you're not going to get a Draymond effort out of Draymond Green.
Did he look like Draymond tonight? Because I think after that kick to Steven Adams in the next game, he kind of lost some of that emotion and it really took him out of his game.
He looked a lot more like Draymond. He made much better decisions tonight, aside from a few of the silly fouls. I think offensively, he did a much better job of getting the ball where it needed to be and not getting it picked off by all of those long arms of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was really a huge problem for the Warriors in games 3 and 4 in particular. Whenever Draymond would try to pass it inside to whoever it was, whether it was a bounce pass to Klay on a cut or out to Steph Curry or to one of the Warriors' bigs, there always seemed to be an arm there and Draymond was worried about either picking off the ball or winding up throwing the ball out of bounds. He did a much better job controlling that. And that helped the Warriors not only maintain possession, but make something out of those possessions that they had.
Yeah, I was listening to Tom Tolbert and Tim Ryan on the Warriors broadcast. They were talking about the Warriors were able to get that extra pass. They were able to drive, kick it back out, which opened up a bunch of lanes, which I think helped the Warriors. Let's jump over to the OKC side, because Kevin Durant and Westbrook. I mean, again, these guys are just trying to single-handedly will themselves to the NBA Finals. Give me your thoughts on them.
Those guys are still tremendous players. You see Kevin Durant going for 40, Westbrook having a really nice game. The difference, of course, is that when you're at home and you're the Thunder, you can count a little bit more on guys like Andre Roberson and Deion Waiters and some other role players to come up big for you because you have that energy. And, you know, role players tend to feed off the energy at home. When you're on the road, you have to lean more heavily on guys like Durant and Westbrook. Those are your superstars. Those are the guys that you count on to come up big for you every single night. They did whatever they could tonight. They just didn't quite have enough to close out this series for OKC.
You know, that's interesting. I've never heard anybody put it that way, that it really is the sixth man that picks up those guys coming off the bench, those guys, the rotation, to help give you that advantage. The one guy that I thought single-handedly took advantage of everything was Steph Curry. And everybody's been talking about the MVP. Did you notice the way I did? I mean, there were times where it looked like there was Steph Curry and at least three, if not four, defenders around him, and he was still able to dribble out of trouble.
And that's what Steph Curry does at his best, is he makes magic out of dire situations. There's no more dire situation if you're the Warriors than being on the brink of elimination. And Steph Curry really came up in a big way on individual plays in his game as a whole. And that's what you need if you're the Warriors. If you're going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you need Steph Curry to be the best player on the floor. Because if he's not, then you're looking at an OKC team that, with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, has the top two guys on any given night.
We're talking right now with Josh Martin, Bleacher Report, bleacherreport.com. All right, give me your thoughts as they get ready to head back to Oklahoma City. What do you think you're going to see?
You're going to see two desperate teams. You're going to see a Warriors team that is on the brink of elimination still. You're going to see a Thunder team that probably understands that if this series goes to Game 7, and that's on the Warriors' home floor, then Golden State's going to have the upper hand. I would tend to think that when Golden State has its back against the wall, that you get the best out of the Warriors, then the Warriors, I think, will do enough to win on the road, though I expect and certainly hope that we get a close game either way.
I just want a Game 7. There's nothing better than a Game 7 in sports, so I'll be greedy. Hey, what are you working on? What are you going to be posting next?
Well, I'm off for the next few days for Memorial Day weekend, but I'll be keeping close tabs on the NBA playoffs here, certainly. And I've got something in the works about the NBA pre-draft process and what guys go through on that front, so keep an eye out for that.
Interesting, because we see what the National Football League does. Then I started to notice this year, the NBA is trying to get more interest in the combines and the workouts and maybe trying to take a page from the NFL's playbook.
It seems like it. I think part of that was what you saw with the difference where they could allow players to declare for the NBA draft without going full board, allowing guys to test the waters. That put more prospects in the pool. Might have generated some more interest. It's hard to tell, but the NBA draft is always an event, but there's just not enough lead time compared to the NFL draft, which happens, what, 2 months, 2.5 months after the NFL season ends, whereas with the NBA, the draft comes around about a week after the finals, so it's hard to really do that same sort of buildup when you don't really give yourself that much time between the finals and the actual thing.
And then I go searching, and we only got about 30 seconds, I go searching for the Summer League, because I think actually the Summer League is must-see TV once you see these guys that got drafted.
It can certainly be fun. It's not always the best quality of basketball, but it's your first chance to see what some of these guys look like. They're very raw. They're in a very loose environment, but it can still be a lot of fun. And if you go out there to watch it in Vegas yourself, then you can have a little fun out in Sin City as well.
Well, that's why I was like it, because it's like two guys standing on top of a cardboard box shooting it, so it actually feels like you're sitting courtside because the production makes it seem like you're so close. Hey, Josh, I appreciate you taking time joining us. Thank you so much. Catch up with you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Rich. Take care.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. Rich Herrera in for Tony D. Nighttime here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I was just thinking about this time of the show, I usually get hungry. Does Tony eat during, does he like have a snack or something? Does he grab a protein bar or order a pizza or something?
Every once in a while, he'll go grab something. But for the most part, I don't really notice him eating too much.
How about an ear?
No.
Not a big ear chewer?
No. I can't say there's too many people out there that are.
You're talking, of course, of Mike Tyson.
Correct.
Have you seen the 30 and 30? I think it was Chasing Tyson.
Yes.
Where he trying to get he and the and Holyfield together, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I've actually interviewed Mike a couple times, and I don't know if you saw this. He did a one man show, and I actually went to go see the one man show. It was awesome.
Was it?
It was really good. Like, I interviewed him because they asked me to help sell tickets. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I saw Bernie Goldberg had him on Real Sports. And I watched and I was really taken aback at everything that he's been through and in his life. And again, a flawed character. So then I interviewed him. It was interesting. I went and saw the show. I was blown away. But the best part of the show was he was talking about biting Evander Holyfield's ear. He goes, you know, humans taste like blank. I thought, wow, there's somebody who actually knows what a human being tastes like because he bit the dude's ear.
Yep.
Well, he's not the only athlete to bite a person's ear. How about this one? There's a Boise State player that was kicked off the team for, and don't you love these, unspecified violation of team rules. You know what the team rule that he bit was? And I didn't know you had to have a rule for this.
Yeah, apparently you do.
Yeah, apparently you do have to have a rule for this. And I'm not sure this is Yahoo Sports Radio policy, but I'm thinking of calling the boss and just making sure this is in our code of conduct. You're not allowed to bite the ear off of your coworkers or teammates. Who would have thunk it that we'd have to have a rule that says you are not allowed to bite the ear off of a coworker or teammate?
It seems like that would be common sense.
Yeah, but this is not it. So this guy, Derek Bowles, was arrested on May 9th in Polk County, Florida. That's down my way here in Florida. Our charges stemming from a February incident. I'm reading this from Deadspin. And will reportedly soon be sent to Idaho to face prosecution, per the Idaho Statesman. He's facing, get this, a felony charge for mayhem from the ear biting that occurred during a fight. He was charged by the Boise Police Department for felony mayhem after the February 12th incident, in which he allegedly was in a physical altercation with another male at an East End residence, I guess that's a dorm, biting him on the ear and tearing a portion of it off. The man who allegedly bitten was treated at a local hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Boise State source said he is a current player on the team. Now, we laugh about this, but mayhem in Idaho, they do not mess around with. Get this. You ready, Adam?
Yep.
According to Idaho statutes, mayhem is defined as, quote, every person who unlawfully and maliciously deprives a human being of a member of his body or disables or defigures or renders it useless, or cuts out or disables the tongue, puts out an eye, slits the nose, ear, or lip, is guilty of mayhem, and the maximum punishment is 14 years in state prison.
Oh, no.
Wow. Okay, so two things. Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a good fight?
Yes.
Or a bad fight, depending? Okay, so you know how to throw, you know how to handle yourself, right?
Yes.
Were you out of high school or were you an adult?
I was a young adult.
Okay, because we've all been there before,
yes.
Right? I put myself through school attending bar and working as a bouncer. So I've been playing.
Yes, that's exactly where I was. That's what I was doing.
you were a little hesitant to admit that to me. So I was wondering, like, are you some kind of brawler going out there?
No. I've been in two, and my uncle owned a bar, so I grew up around the bar.
Right.
And I was working. One of them I was working, and I was actually trying to break up, and then another person jumped in to continue the fight and tried to fight me for some reason. So yeah, that happened. And then the other one was another drunken night that I did not start. So
I got into a fight. This is bad. So I'm an adult, right? I'm in my 40s. I got into a fight 2 years ago.
Really?
I did. It's awful. I was waiting for a table at a restaurant. We were sitting in the bar waiting for a table. I was with my family. Had my son and my wife with me, and with some of my wife's family, and there was a couple on the other side, like a chair down, waiting for while we were waiting for our table, and the guy started putting his hands on the woman, and my wife says, "Hey, go do something." I'm like, "What am I gonna do? Go over there, do something, stop it." So walked over and said, "Hey, you need to really stop it, man. That's not cool. Don't be slapping around like that." He told me to go mind my own business. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to tell you again. Stop it. Knock it off. You shouldn't be doing this. And when he told me where I could go again, I grabbed him and pushed him outside the door very unpolitely.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would have done too.
And then he came back in and he grabbed her. So I grabbed him and I walked him outside with his arm pinned behind his back. And I used his forehead to open up the door.
Yeah, that.
Which means I might have been guilty of mayhem because
yes,
if I disfigure him, it's a good thing it was in Florida, not Idaho.
Right.
How about that? Hey, we got more coming up. I'm Rich Herrera sitting in for Tony D. It's nighttime here on Yahoo Sports Radio.